Even as the distractions in these last days before Election Day mount, a group of women leaders are working to maintain a laser focus on what's at stake on November 3rd. The Allied Virtual Tour is presenting a series of online events every Monday in October, confronting questions of race, gender, and faith. And I am delighted to have the organizer, Lisa Sharon Harper, with us today. Lisa, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm actually really excited to be here again. Thank you.
Describe what the Ally Virtual Tour is all about, please.
Well, the Ally Virtual Tour brings together seven women who are all of Christian faith and very diverse. Between us, it's white, Latino, and African American. And we are asking the critical questions of what it looks like for us to be an ally with each other in such a critical year as 2020, particularly when our electorate is as divided as it is, the most divided it's been since the Civil War, since the years before the Civil War and definitely the Civil War itself. And we are asking the tough questions. So we began with the very question of truth itself, since one of the first actions of President Trump when he came into office was to question the very reality of truth, claiming that there are alternative facts and alternative truth. And that over the course of the last 4 years has left confusion, the same kind of confusion that actually creates fertile ground for authoritarian rulers to grow and take root. And then the second week, we talked about the wedge issue that has wedged our nation apart for the last 40 years, the question of abortion and LGBTQ rights and equality. And we went there. We instead of playing inside of the frameworks that were handed to us in 1983 by the religious right and the moral majority, the framework of pro-life versus pro-choice, we decided to blow that up. And actually, instead of having a wartime either or enemy and friend framework, to have a human framework to talk about this question of abortion in the light of reproductive health and in the light of women's actual experiences, human experiences of having to make these choices, and also looking at how the church has counseled women and can and is counseling women to this day, so who are actually dealing with these issues. So what does that look like to work that through through a lens of our actual faith in Jesus? And then the third conversation that we're having is the conversation on white power versus women's power, because what we've seen at work in the United States over the last several years since Trump has been in office, it's become very clear the ways that white men, who generally hold the majority of the power in the United States of America and in most Western countries, they have a lockdown on that power. And women only get to share in that power in as much as they help to protect it. And so we are asking the question, how does our capacity to ally with each other shift, change, expand when we move the sensibilities of those white men from the center to the circle, along with everybody else, equalizing, making the sensibilities that we care about more equitable? How does that increase our capacity to become allies with each other? Not just allies in terms of trying to win a rule or a law or a policy, but rather allies for each other's health and flourishing. And the final week, the 26th of October, all of these are on Monday nights starting at 7:30 and going till 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. The final conversation will be, what will radical friendship, the kind of friendship that Ruth and Naomi had in the scripture, what does that require of us on Election Day and every day after?
Would you mind telling us the names of the other women?
So it's Jen Hatmaker, who is an online just extraordinaire. She leads an online community of literally millions. And she's a former TV, reality TV show star, and has written several bestseller, New York Times bestseller books. So she is one of the first people that I called when I got this idea. And she immediately said, I'm in. Didn't even, before the end of the call, she was like, yes. The next person is Nadia Bowles-Weber, who is also a dear friend and located in the Denver area of the United States. And she has an incredible following. She's a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, and is known for her ways of having very deeply rooted faith, rooted in the scripture, rooted in practice, but also not accepting of the normal way that we look at things. She always has another angle, which I love. She forces us to consider the human angle of the curt answers that we've come to expect when we talk about these deep questions. So I invited her into this conversation. She's also had a real process herself. And what does it look like to be an ally? Another of our white sisters who are in the conversation is Kirsten Powers, who is a pundit on CNN with Anderson Cooper on his show. She's there almost every week, talking with him about the issues of the day. She formerly was at Fox News and transferred over to CNN several years ago. She also has a regular column in USA Today. So she really understands Washington, D.C. She understands politics. And she also has an incredible foot in both worlds, both the conservative world and also the progressive world. So she's able to look at things from multiple perspectives and comes from an evangelical background. And then finally, our last white panelist is Sarah Holland. And so Sarah Stewart Holland is a former Politico. She worked on Capitol Hill and worked in one of the presidential campaigns, and is now actually one of the co-hosts of Pantsuit Politics, that brings together herself and Beth Silvers, who do not share the same point of view on every little thing, but they are able to have conversation. And so we invited Sarah Holland into the conversation to add political perspective. She specifically is in our weeks 2 and 3, while Nadia is in our weeks 1 and 4. And then the women of color who have joined me are my mentor, longtime mentor, Brenda Salter McNeil, Reverend Dr. Brenda Salter McNeil, I should say, who was based in Seattle, previously Chicago, and is the author of several books, including her most recent, Becoming Brave, Now. And she is really, she's like one of the foremost racial reconciliation, racial justice consultants in the United States with regard to the church, really more than anything focused on the evangelical church. And then finally, Alexia Salvatierra, who is one of the foremost organizers, particularly in the area of immigration reform and asylum seekers. She was one of the original founders of the New Sanctuary Movement in America, and is helping to pioneer a new effort called Matthew 25, Mateo 26, that is bringing together white churches and immigrant churches to be able to partner in fighting for immigrant rights in California. And that's a pilot that is being looked at throughout the rest of the country. So, and then of course myself. So you can see this is an incredible group of women that have come together. Yeah. And we do not all see the same on all things. We really do hold a spectrum of thought. And that was actually demonstrated even in our last conversation on abortion and LGBTQ. We had real pushback even within our conversation, but ultimately we were able to have the kind of conversation that listened, that leaned in, and actually influenced each other.
Lisa, you have a long career in training leaders and activists in the work of justice. Why did you decide this would be the most effective way to raise up the issues that you see as key in this election year?
That's such a great question. I think that one of the prime pieces of data that influenced my decision to launch the Ally Tour was what happened on November 3rd, 2016, but basically on Election Day 2016, that next morning at 3:30 in the morning, when President Trump took the podium and declared that he had won, and we heard that Hillary Clinton had lost, according to the Electoral College. When that happened, there was something that it just clarified in my view. I understood for the first time that America has two very potent, very strong, competing narratives of who it is and how we got here. That the narrative that won, according to the Electoral College in 2016, was the narrative that we were once great and we need to become great again. And when I actually stood in line, not stood in line, but stood at the line for the Republican convention in 2016, and along with nuns on the bus, I was the first non-nun to be on the bus. and I just was, there with them just to support. And we did surveys that day of the delegates that were going in to the convention hall for the Republican convention. And we asked them, when would you say America was great? And by and large, most of the people that I talked to said America was great before the New Deal. Okay, so just take that in. Before taxes, before people who are rich were asked to contribute to the common pot, before America saw itself as a commons, as brother having responsibility for your brother and sister having responsibility for your sister, that's when they say America was great. And it just so happens that that time absolutely coincides when the time when white men ruled with impunity. That was literally the time when we had the most race riots in America, the 19-teens, 1920s, literally whole black towns were razed to the ground, burned to the ground, more lynchings in that area and also the two previous decades before than at any point in American history. And so there was an absolute sense of white male rule. Now that changed with the civil rights movement. There was a huge pushback against that. And so the other competing narrative is the narrative of the Obama campaign and the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Biden campaign, right? So there's another other clear narrative is the narrative that America has never actually fully lived up to its ideals. And so our role and our goal is always to become a more perfect union. That's where the quote progressive vision comes from. And so these two narratives, one that understands that we have never lived up to that ideal of understanding that all humanity is created and endowed by their creator with the inherent immutable right to happiness and life and liberty. There is not anyone of color in America who would say that, yes, we've realized, I shouldn't say that. There are few people in America that would say, yes, we have fully realized that.
The virtual tour continues on the 19th and 26th of October. How do people tune in?
Actually, you go to theallytour.com, and that's where you get your tickets. And the videos are shown both on that website, but also on Facebook. So if you have a Facebook account, you can actually sign up for our private Facebook group. And when you sign up, you gain access to all four conversations, even the ones that have previously happened, all the way through the end of the year. So you can watch them at your own discretion.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about what's next for our nation?
I am optimistic because we are having the conversations we are having right now, and we're not the only ones having them. The reason we are in the moment we're in is we have not had these conversations before. But because we are having these hard conversations now publicly, we actually have an opportunity to help America to bridge our narrative gap, the gap that exists between our narratives.
A senior fellow at Auburn Theological Seminary, Lisa Sharon Harper, is the author of numerous books, including The Very Good Gospel, How Everything Wrong Can Be Made Right, and Evangelical Does Not Equal Republican or Democrat. Every Monday in October, Lisa and her fellow women leaders are conducting the Ally Virtual Tour in preparation for this year's election. Lisa, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor.